And for more now on the state of the Democratic primary, we turn to the analysis of Shields and Brooks. That is syndicated columnist Mark Shields and New York Times columnist David Brooks. Hello to both of you. So, Mark, let's pick up with where Lisa left off. The people she's talking to are saying this is a state that Joe Biden has to win. How do you see the Democratic race?
I see it the way Lisa does. I mean, Lisa said the title fight, as she put it, is down to Tom Steyer and Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. Joe Biden appears to be in good shape. He was helped by the endorsement of Jim Clyburn, the dean of the South Carolina Democrats. It's an unlikely battleground, Judy. I mean, no Democrat has carried South Carolina in the last 11 presidential elections. No Democrat's been elected to the United States Senate from South Carolina in this century. I mean, it's a little bit like the Republicans' fight coming down to D.C., Massachusetts. But Clyburn, in endorsing eloquently, Biden said he'd win by double digits. We've established that winning is coming in first. But if Joe Biden wins by 8 points, is that a disappointment? Does he have to win by 12 or 15? But right now, it does look good for him, and he needs it desperately because he only has skeleton candidate pains in the rest of the big Super Tuesday states.
Before we get to Super Tuesday, what does South Carolina look to you, David?
Like? Yeah, I do think it's, I think I was thinking a 10-point. He's now in the polls, it's around 13 or so, if you take the averages. But if he has a 10-point win, then he can stay afloat, and people think, oh, there's a logic for his candidacy. There's a logic to think that he could be the one. If you get a finalist versus Sanders, it could be him. If he doesn't do that well, then I don't really see the logic for the Biden candidacy. This is his best shot right here. And if he does poorly, even loses, to me, there's no more logic for the candidate. He's not going to be the one-on-one. Sanders, it'll be interesting to see how many African-American votes he can get. He did well with Latinos in Nevada. He spent 4 years cultivating links to that community, less so with African-Americans. But if he can do well or well enough, then we think we have to conclude his ceiling is much higher than we thought it was, and he romps into Super Tuesday.
So, Mark, you picked up on the strength of these campaigns after South Carolina. I mean, whatever happens, whether it's Joe Biden with a big lead or Joe Biden just barely or somewhere in there, what shape are these campaigns in to go on to Super Tuesday? 14 states, 1,350 delegates.
No campaign. Every campaign is message, is momentum, and is money. Mike Bloomberg has the money. Bernie Sanders has had the momentum up to this point. But there's no way, Judy, that you can run simultaneous campaigns in 14 states, especially big, complex states like Texas and California and North Carolina and Virginia. It's an up for grabs. I've talked to at least half a dozen people in Virginia in the last week who said they had no idea. I mean, these were active Democrats who had no idea who they're going to vote for. You know, they don't know. They're kind of narrowing it down. And I don't know. You know what the significance is going to be. I think Bernie is in the best shape, and I think we still have to go back to that rule about winning is coming in first.
You mean best shape going overall?
Overall, but I will say this: if Joe Biden does have a 12, 14-point win in South Carolina, it hurts Mike Bloomberg. Then it really, in a way, helps Bernie Sanders because it diffuses again the opposition. It doesn't focus on one single formidable challenger, whether it's Bloomberg or Biden. I just thought the debate Tuesday night was a disaster for the Democrats. It was the Bickersons. They were haranguing. They were yelling, interrupting, talking over, with the exception of Bloomberg and Buttigieg. They were the only two, I thought, that sort of showed some restraint.
So, David, how do you see it lining up? I mean, coming out of South Carolina, whatever.
I think first Super Tuesday is a mistake to be this early.
Yep.
We should not be closing down the race so early into it, which is essentially what I think what's going to happen. We'll have like 40% of the delegates chosen. Second, I think Sanders looks strong in California and Texas and a lot of the bigger states. What Mark says about voters not being prepared like the other voters, I was in Watts and Compton in South Central LA last week, and I talked to 15 people, and I was saying, there's a Latino African-American community. Who's making sparks in this community? And of those people, I'd say a bunch, maybe the majority, certainly couldn't name the candidates. Like, they were against Trump. They knew that. That was clear. But they hadn't clued in. Now, you ask them about local politics, they've got a lot of opinions. And so the national politics swoops in, and all of a sudden, people have to make a view. But they've been focusing on, frankly, more important things in their lives. I would make a call to Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. I think Bernie Sanders represents a challenge to their style of Democratic Party. And the only two people who can create unity in an anti-Sanders wing are Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. And if they came in and said, we're going to organize so we don't divide the vote five or six ways, then they could be the only ones to do that. They're probably not going to do it. They're going to sit on the sidelines. But I do think if they want to defend the Democratic Party as they understand it, this is the week. This is the moment when they say, it's going to be Biden and we're all going to work together, or it's going to be X and we're all going to work together. I do think there has to be some leadership. Otherwise, it looks extremely likely to me that Bernie Sanders just walks away with it.
Yeah, I mean, right now we know that Mike Bloomberg has the money. The question is, can he get the votes? And if Joe Biden does have a big win and gets the votes, the question is, can he get the money? I mean, he has a television buy in six figures for 13 states. I mean, that's a
Bloomberg.
Pittance.
No. I'm sorry.
No, but Bloomberg spent $187 million among these states. Joe Biden has spent less than a million. I mean, he doesn't have, in California, as David's paper reported yesterday in a terrific piece, he has one office. And when the reporter went there, it was padlocked. And when he went back the second time, they had a table set up for volunteers, and there were more tables set up than there were volunteers. I mean, you know, so if he does win, it's a great tribute to his popularity, to the vestigial good feelings that people have for Barack Obama and for Joe Biden. But it's not any campaign that's been persuasive.
It's hard to even imagine gearing up for 14 states in 3 days.
I agree.
If you're not already there.
No,
you
can't do it.
But what about David's saying somebody has to come out of the great leadership of the Democratic Party and give some guidance?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I'll wait for that duo to emerge arm in arm and say, we're here selflessly to save the Democratic Party. I mean, it would be welcome, but I don't sit up waiting for it.
No, I understand that.
Coronavirus. David, the number of cases are growing. We saw what's been happening to the markets all over the world this week. The president this week named Vice President Pence to head the government response. But we're already hearing sniping, criticism. I mean, what do you see coming from the federal government? Does it give you confidence that the country is ready?
Not exactly. So I was disturbed. Tony Fauci, who's often a guest on our program, was supposed to do all five Sunday shows from the National Institutes of Health. And he withdrew. And why he withdrew is a mystery, but it seems to have something to do with the White House, that he didn't get the permission he needed. And that's not a good sign, because Tony Fauci is a straight dealer who tells the truth. And so if Mike Pence is or if they're politicizing that, that's a problem. The second thing, and the larger issue, is it's like we had a fire department, or we have a fire, so we build a fire department right away, we dump the fire out, and then we say, well, we don't need another fire department anymore. So we close down the fire department, and then another fire, and we scramble. We have to scramble to have a fire department. And so apparently what's happened is that we've learned a lot about these diseases, but I was just told that the White House shut down the Global Health Office within the National Security Council. And so that's shutting down something we're obviously going to need, because we've been hit by disease after disease after disease, and we just shut down the fire department between each one of them. And so there's nobody to focus attention. There's no global organization to, like, a SWAT team to go in. It seems post hoc every single time.
I interviewed Mike Bloomberg yesterday in Houston, Mark, who said that the country needs somebody in place all the time, not just when there's a crisis, to name someone.
I mean, this is made for Bloomberg, really. I mean, an issue in the terms of competence. If he'd stop saying management, if he'd say leadership instead of management, I mean, if he said management, he loses 15 million workers on the spot. But he's right. I mean, he's got a record he can speak of. He's dealt in public health. He's established. But Judy, the question comes: is this 329 million Americans? Is it a public health crisis, or is it a personal political crisis for a 73-year-old man who's sitting in the White House? I mean, the president has personalized this. That somehow, you know, his opponents are out to get him. First is denial. There's no problem. And then it's his opponents are out to get him. And it just, you know, all I can compare it to is that terrible moment in a subway trip between two scheduled stops, and the train stops, and it goes dark, and everybody sits there in terror. And what you're waiting for is a strong, informed, intelligent voice to come on and say, this is what's happened, this is what is being done, this is what we're asking for you, and this is how we're going to get out of this. And that is missing. And when you silence the voices of people like Tony Fauci, the people at Center for Disease Control, I think you lose that. You want everybody speaking through a single megaphone, headed by Mike Pence, who in 2000, let it be noted, said smoking isn't deadly because not everybody who smokes dies of smoking. Only a third die of smoking-related illnesses. I mean, this doesn't give you the greatest scientific confidence in the world.
That was another point Mike Bloomberg made yesterday, that this is the man who said smoking didn't cause. How much of an issue, David, I should say, does this become among these presidential candidates, the Democratic candidates?
It could become, like, it could take over the election. I mean, I really no idea. I'm not qualified to know how big this will spread, but I saw an article that most Americans will get some form of it, and not a bad form, but some form. And if we start canceling events, if the economy goes down, if we can't gather in crowds, that's suddenly a gigantic event. And so many people who are Trump's critics, or who even sympathized with him but didn't think he was a great manager, a great leader, suddenly, they all say that we've been saying this for years, well, at least we haven't had a real crisis. And then suddenly we get a real crisis. And so to look at it in the crass political terms, I don't see any upside for Trump. I do see significant downside and a lot of upside for the Democrats, since they are the party of healthcare and since they are the party of government. And so, you know, I think it could really shock us how big this becomes, as it already is in other countries.
It already is, Mark.
Yeah, no, it is, Judy. And
10 seconds.
Okay, 10 seconds. Well, I've enjoyed being with you. David seems like a nice person.
That was unfair.
Thank you.
We'll make up for it next week.
Oh, you better, Judy.
Mark Shields, David Brooks. Thank you.